Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. Thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordsman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2. man@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So, praise be to God on this blessed Sunday at this 5 o'clock hour. We'll wait for my brother, Brother Eddie Lee, to head this off. Title, Good News, End Time Prophecy, Blowing the Trumpet in Zion. Glory to God. Blowing the trumpet in Zion. Therefore, he's going to come forth with the word of the Lord today of what God has given him to give unto those of you that are listening. Praise be to God. All glory and honor and praise go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is worthy to be praised. Amen. He's worthy to be glorified. I want to say unto those of you who have been confessing the word of God to be encouraged in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Continue to stand, confess the living word of God. I thank God for what he's about to manifest in the life of me and my family. Glory to God. He's about to show his miracles. Glory to the Boshata, glory. I sense the Holy Ghost confirming to me by the Spirit of the living God that this is so. So I'm grateful to this. Another blessed day, people. Another blessed day in Christ Jesus. Continue to praise God. Okay. I know some of you saying, I've been praising, ain't been no change. Continue to praise him. You're going to make a hit. Amen. As I heard the late brother Kenneth Hagin say, if you're praising God and ain't changed, he said, you're not in the faith yet. Keep confessing. And I'm starting to understand somewhat more why he made such a statement like that, because you know when you hear that first listen, you go, oh, wait a minute now, what kind of sense that make? It ain't working. But sometimes we're not in the faith like we think, and you have to stay at it, okay? Stay at it. glory to God. And you're going to make a hit. Or in other words, I should say a connection. You're going to make a connection. You might think, ain't no way I'm going to be able to make a connection on this. Yeah, you're going to make a connection, okay? Hold on, be encouraged. Thank God. You're going to make that connection with the Lord. And when you do, there's nothing that the devil can do about it. This is why he's discouraging you to do it. That's why he tell you, look crazy, you still praising God, ain't no change. Glory to God. But our Lord is a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a keeper. The word, the song says, he's the keeper of my soul. Ain't that the truth? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to pass my brother on here as he get ready to hit this thing off. God bless, brother. God bless.
Greetings. Shalom. Shalom from the Lord Jesus, Yeshua Mashiach. Shalom, shalom to America. Shalom to all the saints, the believers in Christ, and those that are looking for the shalom. Blessed is the peace, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. The wonderful counsel, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting God. Isaiah 9.
Okay, we have a disconnect here. You'll be back on. Call had dropped. Satan, you're a liar in the name of Jesus. You will not prevent this broadcast from happening. Amen. You are a defeated foe and stripped of your power by the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is the ruler. Amen. I bind your hand over these airwaves. Glory be to God. This interruption that you're doing to try to keep the word from going forth, in Jesus' name, you will not succeed. Glory to God. Thank God for the written word, the spirit of truth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He is worthy, people, to be praised and to be glorified and to be magnified in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, the devil tried to do his things to interrupt, but he can't stop the word of God going forward. He can provide a little hindrance, things of that nature, but he can't fully stop. Beloved, I say unto you, get prepared in the word, in prayer, because there are greater things yet to come. Now, of course, there's going to be manifestation of the Holy Ghost during this time. Amen. God's going to do some marvelous things. But on the other end, you will have the evil at work also. And God wants his people to get prepared, get ready for the things that are about to come. Like I said, we think COVID was something, and what the government was telling the churches not to gather, that coming together and worship wasn't important and all that stuff. We think that was something. You just don't understand. That was a message in the message, if you get what I mean. And that was really a setup for something in the future. And sad to say, the body of Christ in general as a whole, we was absent. We was MIA. We were missing in action. Okay? I know some people say, well, we went to Facebook, we went on all that. Yeah, I understand we did that to a degree. But we did not really let the power of God be shown through us in healing of this COVID. And for the most part, we totally, quote, to a degree, relied upon the government. Amen. We're all guilty as believers. So, thank God, God is raising up a people. He's raising up a people. Glory to God, he's raising up a people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is raising up a people. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your spirit. Amen, people. Glory to God. He is God, and besides him, there is no other. There is none greater. You will not find anyone greater. So quit looking if you're trying to, because you won't find them. And I thank God for hearing my prayer, my cry, all the requests that I brought before. Because I'm just awaiting the miracles of the Lord. Because he's a keeper of his word. He told me that his word, when I return to him void, he said, will accomplish the thing that he was sent it to do. Amen. And I have laid my request before the Lord, and he has heard my cry, and I know he has. There's no doubt, and we have to do in our part to make the transaction complete, people, and in believing our God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to patch my brother on here again. God bless, brother. God bless.
Yeah, shalom. Jesus is Lord. The King is returning in pomp and glory and majesty and power and victory. He's coming back again to a prepared people. But before he comes, we are to bear witness or give witness to the entire earth. And so we declare the good news, the greatest news. You know, I got cut off. I don't know, it was my phone. technology, do we call it. But, you know, one thing, I'm taking this opportunity that we have, you and I, to declare the most wonderful event in news that hit the planet Earth. And we have been commissioned by the living God and we've been charged by the Lord Jesus and sent by the Holy Spirit to declare the news of the kingdom of God's coming and Jesus is coming to rule and reign. So we're taking this opportunity to blow the trumpet in Zion, as Joel said. Let's blow the trumpet loud and clear. Let's be at John the Baptist. Let's be at the voice of John the Baptist in his first coming. He cried. The Bible says he cried loud. His voice rang out all up into the cities. He wasn't a quiet fellow, you know. He wasn't a mild, meek fellow. He was a prophetic voice of that day in announcing the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. And he cried so loud between those mountains and the waters that his voice rang out all up into the cities, brother. Repent!
Yeah.
You could just hear John crying out, repent! And he called all the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the elders, and the kings, the governors, and all of them. Repent! For the king is near. The king, the lamb is near. And so they try to silence John the Baptist's voice, the religious, the people in power. And you know, the people of power today that rule over the broadcasting industry, the industry, they were trying to silence the voice of the gospel.
Right.
Do you get that?
Mm-hmm.
The voice of the biblical voice of the last warning of the gospel of redemption, the king is coming. And we might as well tell it all like it is, as much as the Lord permit us. We might as well blow the trumpet and not be scared, not be silent, sit in the corner. We're not in the sit in the corner mood because this is the last hour that the Bible talks about. We're living in the last hour, Matthew 24. So we might as well blow it loud and clear, right, John the Baptist, right?
Amen. Amen. My will, brother. My as well.
It may sound not like you're blowing a trumpet, maybe hitting a few notes here and there, but we're going to get the tune right after a while, because we're going to get the tune on tune with like John the Baptist did in his first coming when he announced Jesus' first coming. Now, we're announcing his second coming, and we're bringing this great and wonderful news to the earth, because the whole earth seemed to be in turmoil, brother. I mean, confusion, nations trembling, problems, difficulties, violence and murder and pestilence and storms. The earth seemed like to be turning kind of like upside down, like Isaiah said. Isaiah said he's going to turn the nations upside down. It seemed like they turn upside down, brother.
Yeah, it is. Amen.
And he said he's going to shake the nations like he's shaking a tree. Do you see any shaking of every entity in the earth, every government, every business? You see a lot of that shaking going on?
Oh, yeah, I see a lot of it.
Oh, my goodness. And you see they're confused. They don't know exactly what's next and what's coming. They're troubled. So when we warn them and tell them as one of the signs that Christ's coming and the Lord's coming is that he said, Jesus himself said this, so you can cut Jesus off. This is in the Bible. Facebook and all the rest of you people, you can cut off the voice of Jesus like they did. They tried to silence the voice of Jesus. You know they ran him out of many towns. They pick up stones at Jesus. Now, we don't have, but the stones today are the media and the Congress. They're the stones. Yeah. They're the ones throwing the stones to stop the gospel trees. They're picking up their little stuff and their media things and telling, you can't preach on this, Brother Nate. You can't tell this now, even though it's in the Bible. You can't do that. You think it's coming to that?
Oh, yeah, it come to that, brother. Most definitely. Loud and clear.
And, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear the gospel. It's something about that name Jesus and about righteousness and redemption, about righteousness and redemption, and atonement of Christ and deliverance. When you start speaking those terms, the devil gets upset. People want to turn off, but there's a lot of people want to hear that searching. There's a lot of people waiting, looking, searching. But there's a crowd in powerful places. Do you know the Bible says the people that rule and reign over the nations, many of them are in high places utilizing that power to stop the gospel, the good news to reach the people.
So, amen.
But we're gonna believe the Lord for a miracle, that we're going to proclaim the acceptable way of the Lord Jesus, the redemption of Christ, with fervor and diligence and with courage and boldness and not fear. Because I am taking my clue from John the Baptist, how fearless and bold he was in his day. Hallelujah. He stood up.
Yeah.
He stood up among all the adversaries of his day, the spiritual leaders, the government leaders, Rome, and all of the so-called hierarchical church leaders of that day. He stood up and stood forth with a message from the living God that was put in him, and he was raised as a child, ready for the hour to declare, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Now, Jesus is coming again, not as the Lamb. He's coming at the Lion of Judea, the conqueror, the king. And so we proclaiming good news for everyone that wants to come under the umbrella of the gospel. They need not fear anymore. Come under the umbrella of the everlasting gospel. Come unto him under the Lamb on his wings. You need not fear no more, because the nations are coming down. The end.
Amen.
The end of man's rule and Satan's control and rule over the nations is coming to an end. Hallelujah. Well, glory to you. Well, we want to magnify you, Jesus, because the devil's in his kingdom and man's is coming to end. But all of them that come under the umbrella of the gospel in Jesus Christ, redemption, they need not fear no word. They can rejoice. Hallelujah, but their king is coming, coming, coming. And your kingdom time, the rule is coming, coming, coming. So we're going to rejoice because there's good news for them to have an ear to hear. Thank God for Jesus. He's making a way of deliverance. Now, we're on this broadcast to give you the best news you're going to get, the most glorious, wonderful news about the love redemption of Christ. Do you notice that God, the Father, the eternal God, had a plan and made a plan before the world began and it came into existence, that he had made a plan for man's redemption, because he knew in the beginning that man would fall. And he made a plan to recover him. So that's a good God. Now listen, he made a plan before Adam even failed. He knew that Adam was going to make the right, wrong choice. He didn't influence Adam's choice. He let Adam make his own choice. And he letting us make our own choice, brother, as we hear the gospel. That's why the gospel, the good news, so people can have that great choice, that decision.
Right.
To enter the,
amen,
the life under the umbrella of life and redemption for Jesus who loves us. Now, do you notice, and we're going to say a couple of truths here about the good news, that if you're looking to governments and people for some wonderful good news, what do you think about that? They're putting all their trust in human governments and human abilities to save. Well, what do you think about that?
The word is called disappointed, because they're going to be coming, what? Brother.
Really? So we don't want the people to be disappointed and deceived and left out in the dark. We want you to come to Christ the King and get in his kingdom and be born again and be among the saints and receive the good news. The kingdom of God has come to redeem me from sin and death, and I'm going to reign and rule with him, and I'm going to have dominion, and I'm going to have joy and peace starting now, because Christ become my life, and I'm about to change kingdom out of the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of sin and righteousness. I'm about to make a choice, a decision about the most wonderful news. Jesus came in this world, Emmanuel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Son of God, the Redeemer, came to offer me, come be a part of my family. Come be a part of my kingdom. Be my seed, my heir and joint heir, be my redeemed child, And everyone can come because the blood has been shed on Calvary to take away your sins and your iniquity. The blood, atoning blood, is called the atonement, the redemption, the reconciliation to everyone that would come humbly to the Lamb of God and say yes to him, repenting and believing, trusting him for their salvation and deliverance. Now, we don't want people to be disappointed. God made a way to take away their disappointment. He sent his son Jesus. Now listen, everywhere in this world, people are looking for some good news, and they're wondering what the sorrow and grief that's coming upon the earth, what next going to come to pass? What can I do? Where can I run? Where can I go? My heart is broken, filled with fear and trouble. What's next coming to pass? When I die, where I'm going, where my children, what's going to happen? The earth is turning upside down. Isaiah said in chapter 24, and Hosea, he says that he's going to shake the earth like a tree upside down because it's a rebellion and sin. He's going to turn it upside down. Now, you know, in the day of Noah, which is a picture of the last day, Jesus said in Luke 17, he said in Luke 17, he says, just like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah that God had to come down and see? They had gone so far into darkness that the Creator had to come down and say, let me come down and see. Let me check this out before I destroy all of these people. God is so full of mercy and kindness. He, the living God, he don't want to destroy anybody. So he came down and saw Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, let me check. Let me look. Let me consider this before I drop the hammer and destruction upon Sodom and Gomorrah. When he saw the old world of Noah, he said, it sorrows me that I have to destroy all man. Before he will destroy man, he gives them an opportunity. He give a voice crying out. And Noah cried out for 120 years to that old world. Genesis 6, Matthew 24. He cried and preached for 120 years, and he took the boat, which is a way of deliverance and salvation. He built a ship, a boat, that was going to sail them out and through the destruction. And God's got a boat for you. And that boat is called Jesus the Redeemer. And if you get inside of that boat and Christ get in you, you're in the safety zone, like Noah and the people in that ark. They went into the safety. Everybody went into the safety, the inside, the one door, because Jesus is the only one door. John 10, he's the only door you can enter. And on the ark of Noah, they had only one door into deliverance. And one door into that ship. There was no two. You know there only one door in Noah's?
Amen. Amen.
There were no many doors, was it?
No, there weren't no many doors.
So if they want to come into the ark, which is a type of salvation and deliverance, there was only one door. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the door to the sheepfold. So there is one way, one door, one means of salvation. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man can come to the Father but by me or through me, no other way. One. So all the religions in the world, you don't have to be confused anymore. All the theology in the world, you don't have to be confused anymore, beloved. You don't have to be troubled. Which one should I pick? Jesus made it plain. He said, I am the way. John 14, I am the door. John 6, I am the bread of life. I'm the living waters. Hallelujah. The living waters. Hallelujah. I'm the son of right. And so we don't be had children. You don't have to be confused anymore. You can get in the wings of Jesus on the covering, protection. He got a guaranteed clause in his insurance. The insurance you get on the earth only cover, and they might default on you. But the insurance coverage that Jesus give you, he don't default on his insurance plan. Amen. He don't default. He fulfilled everything he promised you. If you will believe and trust him and give your heart and give your mind and come into his kingdom and be born and transformed and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, you're in the safety zone and walk in him. You don't have to worry about him defaulting on his promise, his insurance plan. He's a guarantee.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Ghost will back up what Jesus said, and he got angels ready to back up his word. Hallelujah. So Do you know everything that the Lord practically did from the beginning of the world includes the Holy Spirit and the angels of God? So today, we need to understand the day is important, how angels going to play a major role in the complete plan of God, just like they did in the beginning. Follows a pattern. If you look at the scripture, he follows a godly plan and pattern. And it includes, from the beginning, the Holy Spirit and angels. Is that sort of accurate, brother? Everywhere in the beginning world, you find the administration of angels playing a major role in everything that God did. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. And so we've come to the close of the hour of man's rule and Satan's downfall over the nations and sin having no longer dominion. Listen, good news, glad tidings. The Redeemer has come and died and rose again. It's coming back. Good news, calling everyone to come under his wings and his feathers on his redemption. Good news, inviting everyone to come to repent and believe on him. For the cross of Calvary made the way, the blood shed, the resurrection gave you hope and the assurance policy that is not default because he conquered death, Satan, and the grave. This insurance policy called redemption is called atonement. God made atonement to buy you back from the devil and darkness. Colossians 1 and 20. 28 of Acts. Acts 28. Jesus paid his blood to buy you back, to purchase you, to redeem you from under sin and death. Now listen, he made the payment to purchase you from under the curse of sin when Adam sinned. He made a down payment and a complete payment to recover you today. No matter where you are in darkness, sin, or in doubt, Jesus made a payment, a down payment, and a complete payment. He completed the payment when he rose from the dead and conquered death and the grave. Nobody, no religion, no theology in the world conquered grave. They couldn't do it because they didn't create. Only one God creates and redeems, who sent his only begotten son. Now angels are ministering in the earth, and demons are around the earth too, and demons walking up. But the angels of God are here because they have a purpose. They have a purpose and mission like they did in the beginning. We're going to talk a few minutes about the angels' administration because people have more faith in demons sometimes than they have in the angels and the Holy Ghost. And so they're exercising. You know, there's more people exercising more faith in fear than deliverance?
Yeah.
Do you know people trusting their fears more than they trust in God?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You know that people are trusting, huh?
Hallelujah. You're right about that, brother. Hallelujah.
Do you know a lot of people are trusting in their trouble, more than they're trusting in the word of the living God?
Amen.
Do you know a lot of people are trusting in their weakness rather than trusting the strength of the living God?
Amen.
Be aware of that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you know people are putting more trust in a president office more than the king that rules over all the world?
Yeah.
But I'm just talking. People are putting their faith in many things, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Hallelujah.
And that's and misplaced. If I were you, I would place my trust in something that can't fail. Now, if I were going to place all of my trust and all of my marvels, I'd find something that's immutable, omniscient, with all power and all knowledge, all wise, and something and someone that cannot fail and had never failed. If I was going to put all of my trust, I would put my not all of my trust in nothing in this world, and everything in this world that you see can and will fail. But there's something that above this world, that created this world and created man and given life, who holds the stars, the moons, and the galaxies in his hand, has never failed, not once, not lied once. So if you're going, I know it's okay to trust in your And, you know, your alderman, your mayor, mm-hmm. put certain measures of trust in your government and certain things, like trust in your family and your loved ones. That's good. Okay, that's nice. But if you're going to put all of your marbles, you're going to invest your life and your hope in something. Why don't you invest in something that's immutable, omnipotent, omnipresent, omnipotent? I would rather put myself in a – the gamblers, they like to – They had to put themselves in what? They like to, this is a sure thing. This horse coming in. This number's coming in, Brother Nate. But it don't often don't come in and do it.
No, it don't. No, it don't, brother.
And so day by day, people go thinking my number going to kill it. My number going to come in. My horse going to come in. They keep going back to the racetrack, losing all that money, and they get disappointed and disappointed, right? Hoping that luck is going to bring them in. But I got something better than luck, brother. Wouldn't it be good to trust in something better than luck?
Yeah. Amen.
A sure thing. The only absolute sure thing I know found in the scripture, Jesus said, my word is truth and my word cannot fail. John 17, Matthew 5 says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word, my promise, will not pass away, will not fail. So I'm going to put my trust in the promise. I'm going to put my trust and my feet solid on something that's immutable, that will have proven itself and never fail. And since the 6,000 years that man created the earth, God has not failed once. He not failed not once, not one time. The living God, Jesus, the Word made flesh, has not failed not one single time. So if I'm going to trust in something, like Jeremiah 17 said, trust not in kings, trust not in the armor flesh, not trust in princes, because they can fail. Trust not in armies, trust not in your money, trust not in your house, trust in the arm of people who call your friends. You can trust them to a certain measure, but put all your trust in one place that cannot fail, in him that has proven record will not fail. Did you know that he told the children of Israel, I'm going to bring you out for 430 years of slavery? And he came against the greatest army in the earth of that day, the Egyptian army. The mightiest army in the earth that day was the Egyptian army. And the Lord God sent one man, two men down there. So he only sent two men there, brother. Remember that? He said two men. But he had all the angels go with him, though. He had the heavenly host with him that they didn't see. He had another army, a heavenly host. There were two men, Moses and Aaron, went down to the most powerful nation on the earth and said, let my people go. Wait a minute. You two men are walking up here looking like scrubs and telling me, talking to Pharaoh, and got the mighty army. They came to this African nation. This African nation who held the children of Israel into bondage for 430 years. This African nation that had made slaves out of Israel 400 years. And the Lord Jehovah suffered it to be so. And these two men walked up with a rod and staff and said, the great God Almighty of Abraham and Isaac said, let my people go. Did they have to let them go?
You had to let them go.
two men walking up to the greatest power and might saying, let them go. What kind of power and authority they have to say to this king who called himself the, you know, Pharaoh, they were worshiped as gods, you know. The Pharaohs were considered gods to the people.
Yeah.
They worship him as God. Like all the other nations worship their princes and king as gods. And Moses, the prophet of Israel, and Aaron, his brother, said, the Lord God of my fathers has sent me, let my people go, that it may come and worship me in this place. And Pharaoh said, so who is your God? Do I know him? No, the world don't know this Jesus, do they? The world and its nation, many of them don't know who he is, really, do they?
Amen.
Many of the nation people, they don't know him to live in Christ. They have never met Jesus, never experienced this, never touched his touch, his revelation, his deliverance. The whole, practically most of the, half of the earth, they don't know this Jesus. They haven't met him. Who is this God? Now, I want you to read something here. Who is this God? This Jesus who you're talking about. Let's read something here. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, introducing 1 Thessalonians, let me see. You got it? Let me see. That's on my
stuff
on the table. That's on chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. The word of God says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come."
Now, as he writes to this church in Thessalonica, Paul is saying important things. To turn away from the things that you're trusting in that's surely going to fail you. Now, what did he call, what did Paul say to the church of the living God? He says, I'm writing this letter to you to remind you. What is he saying again? You got it?
At 1 Thessalonians, again.
Yeah.
Read that verse again. Okay.
Yes, yeah, verse 8, 9, and 10.
Verse 8, 9, and 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, 9, and 10. The word of God said, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, but they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which deliver us from the wrath to come." Got about 7 minutes.
Now,
bro.
You, huh?
Got about 7 minutes.
Delivered from the wrath and the judgment to come. God Almighty, Jesus, came to redeem us and deliver us from the anger and a just God against sin that's coming to destroy many nations because they won't turn to him from serving idol gods. To, what did Paul call it? Turn to the true and living God.
Amen.
The true and the living, that's the good news I got for you. You can turn to the true and living God. He dwelleth in Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way. My Father's in me, and I'm in the Son." He's given all things to the Son. And you can turn to the Son of God today because you can be delivered from the chaos and confusion and destruction that's coming upon all nations, Isaiah 34 and Revelation 9 and Revelation 18. And so you can stand in a place of a security and comfort without fear, without worry, under the wings of the Lord who promised to preserve and deliver you. And he said the Holy Ghost will direct you with power, and the angel of the Lord, the angels, Psalm 34, Psalms 103 and 102, the angel will preserve and protect you and encamp around you. That's some insurance. That's double insurance, brother. That's double insurance.
Amen.
That's double insurance. When the next coronavirus comes, which is going to be greater than the coronavirus, you can stand still and stand covered in Isaiah in Psalms 91 and stand without fear because God said, Psalm 34, God has not given me the spirit of fear, Timothy 1 and 7. He's given you the spirit of faith and authority and power to stand still and see the deliverance of your God because you had trusted in the true and living God. Psalm 34, when the bombs shake America, where are you going to be standing? When the coronavirus and tidal waves hit America and the world, where you going to be standing? Who are you going to be standing with? Can you stand with fear without fret? He's able to keep that which you committed to him. You commit your lives and wear them. He was able to deliver you in the days of Noah, he had a way of deliverance for the people. In Sodom and Gomorrah, he caused them to escape that trust in the great God Jehovah. There were, what, three people that escaped Sodom and Gomorrah. Did they escape? Three people come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. They trust in the arm of the living God, didn't it?
Yes, it is. Amen.
How many people escaped in Noah's day, found a way of deliverance?
Eight.
Yes. How many? Seven people or six people?
Yeah.
Noah, yeah. Six people. What? It's three sons, so that means seven. What? Eight? What? Eight? Eight souls.
Eight people. By eight souls. Yep. Yep.
So that shows you, Lord can preserve and deliver you, right?
Amen.
So I'm saying to you people, what and who are you trusting in? When the earth said, Isaiah 24, the earth's going to reel and roll like a drunken man. When God gets too shaken, the earth is going to reel and roll like a drunken man. I want to be standing the living next to the living God. His angels surrounding me, the Holy Ghost directing me, the blood covering me. I don't want to be standing in the safety zone where the nations are trembling and crying out. And I'll be standing and say, this is the way, the Lamb of God said, under me, under your wings shall your trust, I'll redeem you and give you deliverance. Stand with him, because he's the everlasting arm. Now, I want you to know that we're speaking to you today about the good news of your deliverance. And we're making this cry because we're in the 12th hour. And as we close this broadcast, we have to give you extension to be a part of the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Because the gospel, which is the good news, is called the message of the atonement, and it's the redemption and atonement. The most important message in the Bible is about atonement of Christ and redemption. There is no other safety zone or deliverance besides it spoke of the atonement, redemption, and the resurrection. That's the door that the hope of mankind hangs on. These three things, revelation of truth, redemption in Christ, atonement, and victory over death. He's able and willing to preserve his own and keep them from falling. And fear not. You don't have to fear what's coming. You can stand in the safety zone. You got a guaranteed insurance policy called the everlasting gospel. I'm not ashamed, Romans 10 said. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Though he was a Jew, talking to the Jews and the Gentiles, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it is the power of God of the salvation to everyone that believe it. That means continue to believe. To the Jew and the Gentile, to the bond and free, all are welcome. To the worst sinner, he's welcome to come. Jesus is mighty to save. Now, the angels are getting ready and being loose in the earth and ministering and visiting people. And we'll talk many more about ministering of angel and the Holy Ghost where you can be in the safety zone. And the everlasting gospel is being restored. And why is the everlasting gospel restored? By a messenger called, behold, I send you Elijah before that great and dreadful day, Malachi. Why is Elijah coming? Why is he coming in the power and spirit of a resurrected being as an angel and bringing a message that come all the way in the plan of God? Don't come part of the way. Well, we love you, and we hope to give you some hope, because under the wings of Jesus, which is his gospel and his love and redemption for you, there's safety. You will not default on his insurance policy.
Amen.
Guaranteed. He said, my word will never fail. It's forever settled. Hallelujah. Said, all right, let's lift up. We've got 1 minute. What, 1 minute left, home?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, come on.
Invite every soul that wants to be in the good news, walking in peace and law and joy and righteousness while the world is crumbling and crying. You're walking in safety and peace and joy and an unfailing God and the failing promise of Jesus Christ. You can be walking with the assurance guaranteed, written, filled and delivered by the blood of Jesus, saying, I will keep my word and nothing can stop me if you only believe. Trust me. My love will never fail you. If you look into the government, if you look into your flesh, your talent, your ability, I don't want you to be disappointed. You look into your money, you look into Wall Street to bring you out, America, you're going to be greatly disappointed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 4 and 12, there is no other name. The Bible said there is no other name. And as we close out, Acts 4 and 12 said there is no other name, no other person. John 10, there is no other person. So today, I ask you to welcome to come, invite that person into your life by faith. Said, save me a sinner. Deliver me, Lord, make me new. He will come. Then he'll fill you with the Holy Ghost and baptize in Jesus' name, and he'll direct your steps. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, the conqueror and redeemer and the healer, he that set the captive free, Lord Jesus, he's alive and ready if you're willing. He has invited you to come. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. We love you until next time. Good news at the end time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget another broadcast be on at 7 o'clock. Glory be to God. Once again, we thank God for all you've been listening. And for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate. God bless you. God keep you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Amen. Amen.